It's Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports. Follow the show on Twitter at CapJHood. This is ESPN 1000.
On the Cap J-Hood Show on ESPN 1000. Baseball here on the station. Today we are your home, long-term home, for the Chicago White Sox as they'll play Game 4 against the Astros. The pregame show with the great Connor McKnight at 12:30. First pitch is right around 1:07. And Tracy Butler just texted Danny and said, yes, it's a little gloomy right now, but that should clear early afternoon and time for the ball game.
Skies are a little gray. My hope is it'll clear out for the ball game because we can't just keep moving this along. We can't keep kicking the can down the road. I'm ready for this game, Cap. And so are Sox fans.
So my buddy Slavko Bekovic, who I work with over at TV, yep. Diehard Sox fan. Really? Diehard.
Centerman or defenseman?
He was a Russian defenseman. They moved him to the wing here. Slavko, my guy, says the White Sox have 8 hits off Lance McCullers in 19 and two-thirds innings this year. They've hit just one home run against him, and that was by Jake Lamb. I tweeted him back and said, time to change the damn narrative then, buddy.
Sure.
You're in your building.
You're right.
Let's go. Only looking up, oh, we're 5 runs down again. No. Let's go.
Yes.
And I told you. Time to rage against the dying of the light, Jonathan.
Yeah.
That's it.
Do not go gentle into that good night. Old age should burn in rage at close of day. Rage. Rage against the dying of the light. Wild men who caught and sang the sun in flight and learned too late. They grieved it on its way. Do not go gentle into that good night. Brave men, near death, who see with blinding sight, blind eyes could blaze like meteors and be gay. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. And you, my father, there on the sad height, curse, bless me now with your fierce tears, I pray. Do not go gentle into that good night. Rage. Rage against the dying of the light.
Thornton, what does that poem mean to you?
It means I don't take from no.
That's exactly it, Jonathan. I know the Twins got you nervous in May. You dispatched them easily. And I know in your heart, oh boy, that Lance McCullers is really good. Well, guess what? He's coming into the city of Chicago, the South Side. It's going to be packed. It's going to be a blackout. And you got Jimenez and Robert and Moncada and Abreu. Let's go. Bring it on. If you beat us, I'll tip my cap to you. I don't think he's beating you today. Not today.
No wonder La Russa's getting through the players. I'm glad we had that exclusive audio from 35th and Shields.
That's Tony.
And also hearing from Brooks Boyer apparently as well in that soundbite. Nonetheless, wow. Nonetheless.
Thornton Mellon. That's how you get ready to play.
Yeah, apparently. All right. So I am hopeful and I'm confident in this White Sox team. What I need to see is what we talked about before the series started, and that is getting offense flowing. The offense, as far as extra base hits, the waters had been shut off the first couple of games. Mm-hmm. Now it was like, you know, trying to get a sip of water from a fire hydrant the last game. Right? You saw the extra base hits. You saw the power. It came through for the White Sox. A slugfest, but it happened for the White Sox on Sunday. So now I want to see this White Sox team again come through offensively. And I'm hoping Rodon can give the Sox 3 or 4 innings and hand it over to the bullpen. But if not, if there's another one of these nonsense 1 2/3 innings pitched or two, the bullpen should be ready to go and to be able to pick up the slack. But the most important thing for me, Cap, is to show resolve offensively. This is what the Sox have done all season. It's been a weird year already for the Sox. So many times on the IL, guys in and out of the lineup. But now we need some consistency offensively to get this done today.
Let me ask you a question. If you got a guy on in the first inning, second inning,
mm-hmm.
got the leadoff man on, because of who you're facing, are you bunting early? Are you playing the game differently? Or playing it just like you did in the middle of June?
I don't think the Sox should ever change. I don't think so. Because of the way the lineup is constructed. Now, again, we don't know what today's lineup is, but if it's anything like Sunday, it's going to be Anderson, Robert, Abreu, Grandal, and the cleanup.
Guess what? I just got it.
I just came across.
Yep, I just got the lineup.
Well, so get your pencils and scorecards ready as we give you the correct lineup for today's ball game, Pat Piper.
Tim Anderson will lead off and play shortstop. Yoan Moncada is in the two-hole playing third. Luis Robert will hit third and play center field. Jose Abreu will be at first base and clean up. Yasmani Grandal will catch and hit fifth. Aloy Jimenez will be in left and bat sixth. Gavin Sheets will be your DH and bat seventh. Leury Garcia will be in right field hitting eighth. And Cesar Hernandez will be hitting ninth and playing second base. The starting pitcher is Carlos Rodon.
Now, we think about the bottom part of that lineup for the Sox. It paid dividends in the last game as Sheets went 2-for-4 with the run. Garcia, of course, with a big blast in the third inning off of Garcia. So he goes 2-for-4 with four RBIs in. Also, Hernandez comes in and gives you 1-for-3. Had a couple walks in the game as well. So not just the top, but also the bottom of the lineup been able to come through for the White Sox. So, again, we're looking for runs. We're looking to keep the line moving offensively. Let's see if the Sox can be able to slug out the Astros again and take it to a game five.
How about not walking so many people? Like, they showed Tony and Ethan Katz. They were so mad at Giolito when he walked the eight-hole hitter. He had him, I think it was a 1-2 or 2-2 count. Ball, walk. They did get Martin Maldonado to end the inning with no further damage. But the problem is, that allowed you to turn the lineup over. So instead, you're not facing the nine-hole hitter to start the next inning. You're facing the one-hole hitter.
Yeah, Giolito had five walks in that game, in game two against the Astros. And again, four and a third, you appreciate the effort as far as the 90 pitches, but everything is just ball one, ball two, 1-1, 2-1. Getting behind the hit, that's just not going to work, man. You got to give your best stuff. There's no painting the corners. There's no. You got to be able to go at them with aggression, and that has to happen. I'm hoping for something good, man. I'm on pins and needles. Cannot wait for this game today.
I'm excited. Let's go to the phones. Daryl's in Aurora. Hey, Daryl, what's going on, Sparkles?
Hey, gentlemen. Great show as always. I think it's going to come down to managers, and I think La Russa is going to outmanage Baker. I like both managers. Obviously, Baker, you know, managed the Cubs a while back. But as far as starting pitchers go, they haven't seen Rodon lately, whereas the Sox have seen McCullers. I just think, you guys were alluding to, it's going to be an offensive battle. However, I do think that the pitchers just don't walk, guys. Walks are poison for the Sox. And it's going to come down to a couple big defensive plays, but I think the Sox are going to outslug them. You know, I like to see a couple extra base hits, and I do think you should bunt. You know, put the pressure on. Get Anderson on base. Get him to second, third. Runs are valuable here. So I think that I think the Sox will get to their bullpen. And that's the key to the game. Thanks.
Appreciate the call, man.
I agree. I said the same thing. If the Sox can get in that bullpen, I think they can do damage. It's exactly what we saw the last game against the starter, and then they were able to get in that bullpen and do some damage. Hopefully that will be the case here today.
312-332-3776. Wally is out in Minooka. Hey, Wally, what's up, man?
Hey, I got a question. I was at game three.
Yeah.
And I am so tired of Tony La Russa having runners at first and third, and he will not send that runner on first to second base. They're not going to throw him out because that runner's going to come home. La Russa did that two or three times the other night, and you got to get those guys over in scoring position and get out of that double play ball. The other thing is, in the seventh inning, they had Cesar Hernandez walked, and then Anderson struck out, and the center fielder struck out. They had Abreu 0-2.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't you send Cesar Hernandez to steal second base? If he throws him out, Abreu starts batting again in the eighth.
Okay, hold on.
Why they don't do that?
I know it's easy for all of us to sit back and go, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Cesar Hernandez has one stolen base. One. That is not like that's Billy Hamilton over there on first.
Right.
One stolen base. If he gets thrown out, do you know what the callers would be saying? What are you doing, Tony? Why would you run that guy? He's got one steal. Come on. You're not running with Cesar Hernandez up. You're just not.
You also have to understand your ball club, too. The White Sox are a station-to-station team. It's kind of who they are. Like, Anderson has 18 stolen bases, mm-hmm. and then the next guy is Hamilton, a utility player.
Correct.
So that's just not who... I understand the point. It's a salient baseball thought, though, Cap. It's just that that's not who the ball club is.
Correct.
Now, and so many of these guys, and I don't... I guess we'd have to ask a lot of people around Major League Baseball, like a Stone, right? I guess Steve would know. Like, how many guys have the green light? And how many guys just go on their own? Well, how many are sent and how many have the green light when it comes to stolen bases?
There can't be many. There, like,
in today's baseball, I mean.
Like, look, there's no way Abreu has the green light.
Yeah.
There's no way Aloy has the green light. There's no way Grandal has the green light. Moncada hasn't been healthy.
Right.
So I'm not sure he does.
Even Tim is not Tim from earlier this year.
Correct. Does Luis Robert? Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
He's tried.
Leury doesn't have the green light. So who are we running with there? That's not how that team's built.
Yeah, it's a good baseball thought. I just think that with this station-to-station team, they're a bunch of sluggers, man. You know how they take the extra base? Home runs.
Correct.
Or if they can, extra base hits with doubles.
Yeah, ball in the gap.
Yeah. That's their extra base.
Dude, look at the good teams we've had in this town, this White Sox team, that Cubs run. Who did they really have that you were running with?
I can't think of that 16.
Contreras? No. Yeah. Rizzo? No.
Hayward? No.
Baez? Yes.
Yeah.
Addison Russell? No. Mm-hmm. Bryant? No. Schwarber? Definitely not.
Hayward? Not very often.
No. It's just...
How about Miguel Montero? What about that, Danny? Do you have the green
certainly
light?
Not the Miguel
Montero. No green light. No
certainly
green light.
Not the version of him now.
Why is that,
Cap? You're always fat-shaming him.
I'm not fat-shaming him.
You know, in cancel culture, you're going to get canceled for fat-shaming him.
I'm not fat-shaming
him. Well, then what did you mean by that? Not in the shape he's in now. What did that exactly mean?
I said not the version of him now.
Okay, and what did that exactly mean?
He's just not that swift. He's an older dude. He was never a guy that could really run. He was a guy that had a little thump in his bat. He's not a runner.
And don't forget, folks, it's SotaWeightLoss.com, SotaWeightLoss.com. For those that fat shame around you, always remember, SotaWeightLoss.com. Back to you, Cap.
Thank you, Jonathan. Dusty Baker responds to Ryan Tepera and his cheating slight. You're going to love this. Next.
That's right, folks.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Twitter at Cap Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Boom, boom, boom. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, boom, boom. Boom, 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 boom.
We're going to talk to Chuck Garfine at 9:35 with the lineup now out for the White Sox. Yeah. Hey, man, let's go. Let's rage against the dying of the light. Let's find a way to get on a plane tonight. Guys, we're getting on a plane tonight, and we're not going on vacation. We're getting on a plane, and we're flying to Houston. We're going to beat their ass today, and then they don't have their ace. We're going there tomorrow to get ourselves a spot in the ALCS, and then we'll deal with Boston. Let's go.
All right. We'll see what happens. I'm looking forward to it. Every pitch locked in.
Locked in.
The team that means the most to me, man, because – and I told you before the season, Cap, I said I wasn't expecting World Series. What do you see there? You
got something? I'll tell you in a minute.
Something's going on there?
I got a good story for
okay.
you.
Okay. Well, as I was saying, I wasn't expecting the World Series from this team, but I expected them to take another step with Tony, right?
And I think they have. They're a better team this year than they were a year ago.
Win the series.
Agreed.
Show me.
Agreed.
Win the series.
Agreed.
And no, there are no participation trophies here. We're talking about a team that has the window open for the next 7-8 years. I need the Sox to be able to win and knock this down while Tony's the manager and while Jerry's around.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
We don't talk about that very often around here, but
You're
I mean,
right. He's in his 80s.
I mean, that's, you know, this is something that's important, I think, to all of us to see everyone celebrate at the same time.
And regardless of what this team does, I don't think Rodon's back here next year. I don't.
That's fair.
But I do think they need to add another ace to their rotation.
And here's why. Because what has Kopech shown you? Right? Can he stretch out and give you 6-7? I don't know that.
Can he give
yet.
You 200 innings? I don't know that.
I don't know.
But if I told you Marcus Stroman or Ryan, Robbie Ray, mm-hmm. or there's this year's version of the Darvish trade where you take some money on, but you're going to get an ace back,
mm-hmm.
that plug that at the top of your rotation and go, oh, him, Giolito, Lynn, Cease. Yeah, it's pretty good.
So in other words, what you're saying is, and we'll, Danny, put this in the day timer for the winter, a nice cold winter in January when Cap and I are talking about this. So that you're saying more than likely the Sox need to be looking at a lefty of some sort, starter.
I don't know if it has to be a lefty, just an ace.
I'm just saying you don't have one in that spot if Rodon's not around.
You have.
You're going to need one.
You have Keuchel. Hey, man, you're paying that guy $17 million next year.
Get out of here with that Keuchel. I don't want to hear that. That's why God made five-man rotations. He's sixth.
There you go.
He's sixth in a five-man rotation.
Whoever the best arm you can get. I mean an ace.
Yeah.
Oh, that guy's a guy that I want pitching for me. Yes, that's what you
do. But you know, you want a strong lefty. As in your starting rotation,
if
right?
If you can.
Yeah, I mean, if it's available, you definitely want it if you can. I just don't know if the Sox have that on the roster for the future. Like, if Rodon's not going to be here, it ain't Dallas Keuchel, man. We've seen enough of that. We know what that movie, you know what that movie looks like, don't you?
You do.
You walk out of the theater. That's the kind of movie you see with him.
That was like, what was the movie my brother and I went to? Day of the Jackal.
Day of the Jackal.
Well, we went to see that movie. We walked out. It was awful.
Was Mike Squires there?
He was busy at first base.
Was he?
As a backup. Dusty Baker was asked about Ryan Tepera's accusations that the Astros do sketchy stuff at home mm-hmm. and they don't hit as well on the road. Here's Dusty.
Well, those are some heavy accusations, you know. I mean, we're about the same runs, OPS, and everything as we are. Well, actually better on the road than we are at home. And I think they're actually better at home than they are, you know, on the road. And so I don't have much, you know, response to that other than I was listening to Eric Clapton this morning and he had a song, you know, before you accuse me, you need to take a look at yourself. You know what I mean? So that's all I got to say.
Oh, God. Before you accuse me, take a look at yourself.
Before you accuse me, take a look at yourself. You say I'm spending my money on women, taking money from someone.
Are we going to play all of his A-sides today, or are we going to get back to the show?
I mean, you know me. Nobody hates Dusty as much as I do. He should have known that this was a Bo Diddley song, and Eric Clapton was covering it when he was trying to be all cool.
Ah, wow.
Take that, Dusty.
Take that, Dusty.
Well, do you think that Dusty knows who Bo Diddley is?
Yeah, they were alive. They probably hung out.
Yeah, but didn't know that this is a Bo Diddley song. Unbelievable. Not surprised.
All right, back to the phones. John is in Morton Grove.
That's enough, Tyler, for God's sakes.
Leave it going, Tyler. But
listen, Tyler has no clue who Eric Clapton is. And if I could pull back the curtain for a minute.
Uh-oh.
So in the first segment of the 9 o'clock hour, we played Back to School, Thornton Mellon, that great soundbite that Cap has in his heart for the Sox game today. Yeah. So at the break, I say to Tyler, have you ever seen Back to School? Because Tyler's like, what, 19 years old, right?
He's not. Go ahead.
18?
Go ahead.
24.
I say, Tyler, have you ever seen Back to School? And he told me, I've never heard of it.
No idea how good a movie that is.
He never heard of it.
That's just so embarrassing.
No, it's not embarrassing.
What year did that movie come out?
I have no idea. 1990-something?
Yeah. So I was born in 97.
Yeah.
1986.
Okay, 86.
It's an all-time classic.
You ever heard of the movie Rocky?
I've seen Rocky, yes.
Okay, so that was the 1977.
Here's what we have to stop doing around here, okay? Here's what
this isn't 10 to 12. Come on.
Right? Exactly right. Here's what we got to stop doing around here. He's the youngest man on our roster.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler, right?
Yeah.
You're not going to you're gonna have him go back 20, 30, 40 years. Here are my favorites, Tyler. Watch them all. You can't do that. Is that much time in the day?
I'm not shocked he hasn't seen it. I'm shocked he has never heard of it.
Have you ever heard of Rodney Dangerfield before this morning?
I know the name, yeah.
See? I know the name.
Couldn't tell you a single thing he's in.
Comics of all time.
Okay, but he would, I mean, listen, he's watching Chappelle. Why would he be watching, hey, my wife, take her, please. I mean,
Any Youngman.
Same, believe me. Same comedy.
Oh, no, Dangerfield's a great.
No, it's the same comedic chop. No, Youngman also was a great comedian. There's the same comedian, it's the same chops, though. Same thing. Same bad jokes, the same bit of booms.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, sure. So, but you can't have Tyler go back. Here are the things that you've missed. He's a young guy. Got no time to be going through VHS tapes of old movies and stuff. Got no time for it. So you can understand.
Get them digitally.
What?
You can get them on digital.
You can?
You can.
Oh. Well, he's got no time for that either.
And that video quality?
Yeah. He's not watching anything in non-HD.
All that grain?
I went back there. I said, hey, I just thought of this. Rage Against the Dying of the Light. Thornton Mellon, look up Back to School.
He looked at me like, excuse me?
Yeah, and if I'm his age, I'm saying, wait, do I order that at Whole Foods?
No.
Thornton Mellon?
Thornton Mellon. Thornton Mellon's tall and fat stores.
Bring me a couple, will you, at the Whole Foods when you get a chance.
I'll pick you up a dozen.
Thank you.
All right, back to the phones. John is in Morton Grove. Hey, John, what's going on there, Sparkles?
Hey, guys. One of my brothers is going to the game this afternoon, and I suggested to him that he take the shillelagh off his mantle and bring it with.
Some double shillelagh action.
Bring a cane and be like the Southside Sorcerer and put a Kubla Swami on the strollers today.
I loved when that guy was doing it, and he's on the front page of the Sun-Times. His cane to fame, lifelong Sox fan Rob Holt of Northbrook, worked his magic in a come-from-behind Game 3 win and hopes to do the same today for Game 4 of the LDS. If he's twisting that cane, or what you call it?
Shillelagh?
A shillelagh?
Yeah.
If he's doing that and they win again, they better fly him to Houston.
Oh, heck yeah. Heck yeah. That guy's awesome.
Awesome!
This is going to be awesome, man. Hope you get a chance to watch or listen.
Enjoy the game, Johnny.
All right, take care, guys.
See you, kid. 312-332-3776. Quickly, let's get Kenny up in Geneva. Hey, Ken.
Hey, guys. Hey, I got a couple comments on La Russa's lineup now that it's out. Mm-hmm. For the life of me, I cannot understand why he puts Garcia in right field. The man should, has he not seen Garcia play right field? Garcia should be in the lineup, but at second base. And Engel should be in right field. It's just amazing to me.
So now, go ahead. I was going to respond to you, but go ahead.
Finally, another comment. Finally, La Russa realizes that his best hitter should be in an RBI position. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about Robert. Finally, he moves him into the third position. It's about time.
Let me talk about your first point, and we appreciate your telephone call.
Can I just say one thing while he's hanging up?
Go ahead.
And then you can...
to just understand when he says he should be in the three hole. Analytics says you bet your best players where they're going to get the most times at bat. That's why he was in the two hole.
Your first point.
I want him with RBIs.
Okay, thank you.
Position to knock in runs.
Thanks, Kim.
Still around. I want him in the third hole. His first point, Cap, was what?
He doesn't like Leury Garcia in right.
So we know that Engel is the better right fielder. And as a matter of fact, you think about earlier in the series where I thought that Garcia took a bad beat on that ball and it went over his head. And, of course, it opened the game up for the Astros. Mm-hmm. I know Engel's the better right fielder. I get that. But it doesn't mean that he can't be replaced. Could be, you know, you could put Engel in there for a defensive replacement in the late innings. Right? You can
no
do that.
No question.
You can do that.
No question.
So, no, but his point is, yeah, Garcia is a solid player, but he is not a plus outfielder. I agree. But they want his bat in the lineup because why would you take it out? He got the game started for the Sox after Grandal.
Correct.
So that's why he's in there. Right?
No question okay, about it. So. No question.
But he thinks that Garcia should play second instead.
Correct. Well, look, Cesar Hernandez against Lifetime against Lance McCullers Jr., 2-for-4. 2-for-4. Sure. That's why he's in the lineup. We will talk to Chuck Garfine, our White Sox insider from NBC Sports Chicago and ESPN 1000. Chuck is next.
Take that.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and Jay Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Two on Jose Altuve. Two outs, nobody on in the sixth. The pitch. Got him looking. Great work by Tapera. Two perfect innings.
Take that, Dusty. Welcome back on. Danny just got all fired up because I took a shot at Dusty. It's not even a shot at Dusty. He's the enemy, man. He's not a Chicagoan anymore.
He never was.
He was. He's a good guy. But he's... he's an Astro now.
I thought you were going to say he was an ass something else.
Astro.
I was going to agree with you.
All right. That's enough.
He's an Astro.
You know, but before Joe Mann came in here with his touchy-feely, let me tell you something. Dusty Baker was the guy that's going to lead you to the World Series. If it wasn't for Alex Gonzalez and his bobble. But that.
It's a good point.
Well, I mean, just his idea that Dusty was, like, the locker room was what it was when he's with the Cubs. But the team was good. The team choked. How about that?
They did.
Yeah, if they had a better manager, they would have won a World Series.
Right. Okay, but
here we go.
They should have hired Quadi. You're right. Go ahead.
Quadi was better than Dusty.
No, Quadi sucks.
Was Dusty Baker ever a lunch with the legend? I rest my case.
That's all the best we could do.
Chuck Garfine joins us. Thanks, Adam.
So Ditka McNeil is going to be there either.
Tell of it. Chuck Garfine joins us now from NBC Sports Chicago, where he is must-watch television with Ozzie Guillen. Chuck, good morning. The lineup is out. It is a do-or-die game 4. And I just have this feeling, man, I wouldn't have started Lance McCullers today. I think you're going out and beating his ass. What's your mindset about this game?
Yeah, they are rolling the dice a little bit having McCullers today, but they're going for it and putting their best starter on the mound. He's 3-0 against the White Sox. But he's pitching against the White Sox here as opposed to in Houston. So if the Sox were able to beat the Astros here, then you're going back to Houston without McCullers, and it's Urquidy instead. So it's an interesting decision by Dusty Baker that will be talked about in great length, win or lose, after the game today. But, you know, you were talking about Cesar Hernandez before I came on. He does have two hits against McCullers. Mm-hmm. They're two doubles against McCullers. They were this year, and he's like the sneaky guy in this lineup. He did it with the Indians, but this year against Houston, Cesar Hernandez, three doubles, three homers, eight RBIs against the Astros. Now, it was earlier in the year, and obviously he struggled a lot with the White Sox, but this is a guy who's batting ninth in this order. So look out for Cesar Hernandez today, even against Lance McCullers with those two doubles this year.
Chuck, what did you think of our discussion earlier regarding right field? And this is not just from the series. We've heard, hey, maybe it should be Engel in there instead of Garcia. And my thought was, it's not like we're not going to see Engel. I think Engel will play today as a defensive replacement. But what do you think of Garcia over Engel in that spot in the outfield?
I mean, Garcia has been there all year long. He has come up with big hits. He obviously had problems in right field earlier in the series in Game 2 and also at the end of the regular season. But those are outliers to him. I mean, he's a switch hitter. And then you got Adam Engel, who, you know, has not been there that much. He has only played, had 20, 30 at-bats in September. We saw him the first couple of games offensively. He didn't do much. And so I think what he's set up to do today is correct. It's the right decision. You bring him in as a defensive replacement late in the game, especially, I mean, Larry Garcia, did you see what he did last game? A home run and a double? He's starting. Cesar Hernandez has had good at-bats. He's starting, and he's a second baseman. So I like what they did here, and Luis Robert batting third. You know what? Love it. He's only had one game batting third in his career, but he has been their, I was about to say their hottest hitter. It's either him or Tim Anderson. I love it. I was thinking go T.A. and Robert to begin, but T.A., Moncada, Robert, I like it even more. I hadn't even thought about it.
How do you think the pitching shakes out? Because I do believe Tony feels, I don't owe this to Rodon. I'm pitching him because I think he's my best option. Lance Lynn is a 92% of the time fastball guy, whether that's a four-seam, a two-seam, a cut fastball, his sinking fastball, whatever it is. And that's a good fastball-hitting team, no matter where you're facing them. I truly believe he thinks Carlos gives us the best chance. Who is the guy that comes in if he has the quick hook, which he probably will if Carlos struggles?
That might be Lance Lynn or Ronaldo Lopez. It depends on how quick you're talking about. Something tells me that Rodon is going to shove today because, you know, he said he was ready for Game 3. He has told the White Sox he thinks his velocity is going to be higher. How high is it going to be? I don't know. Even with a 91, 92 mile an hour fastball, he threw 5 shutout innings against the Reds. The Reds are a different offense than this. I get it. But 5 shutout innings. He finds ways to get guys out. He has owned the Astros this year. Even more, in a way, than McCullers. He only gave up 4 hits in 14 innings to the Astros. So if he can bump that velocity even up to like 95, this is going to be a great matchup for the White Sox. How long is it going to go? I don't know. It's baseball. But I'd like to think that if they need someone, say the 5th inning, 6th inning, whatever it's going to be, maybe it's Lynn. Or, I mean, you got a pretty good bullpen that you may not need Lynn. What will be interesting, and I'm jumping ahead here, and I don't like to jump ahead, but in the scenario where the White Sox win today, Giolito would seemingly be the guy that would start Game 5. But again, let's not get ahead of ourselves. They got to win today.
I want to find out your range of emotions from Sunday's game. A blackout game where the fans were electric. They were on 11. So what were you thinking as you were watching that game? Because we got behind in the game, and then that flurry. We were living the singles life for a long time in games 1 and 2, and finally breaking through some extra base hits. So what were you thinking, Chuck, watching?
Oh, I mean, how much time do I have? I can say this. First off, the game itself, one of the greatest experiences I've had watching a White Sox game in person in my life, even more so than the first blackout game, because in the first blackout game, which was also do or die, there were like 2 plays in the game. There was a Jim Thome homer. There was the play at the plate that Ken Griffey threw to AJ, and that was it. This had so much going on. Sox were down 5-1. Grandal hits a 2-run homer over the outstretched arm of Michael Brantley. If Michael Brantley catches that ball, I'm quitting my job. I'm not watching White Sox baseball ever again. 2-run homer. And then Larry Garcia. I mean, the drama there, Dusty pulls him, pulls Garcia, the pitcher Garcia, Luis Garcia, Yimi Garcia out of the bullpen, gives up a 2-run homer, a 3-run homer to Leary Garcia. Ball game at that point. I mean, it wasn't ball game, but it turned out to be. That was an incredible comeback because this place was rocking. And after the Astros took a 5-1 lead, it was like a library. It was a cemetery with the most raucous fans I had heard in a long, long time in the crowd. But the fact that the White Sox were able to battle back and then just keep pushing and put more runs on the board, what an experience it was. I really hope it carries over to today.
Chuck, as I was looking at the analytics, I was sharing them with my partner here. Hello. The analytic breakdown has Carlos Rodon, as you say, shoving.
Yeah.
They actually have him pitching a very, very effective game. The White Sox are favored slightly in Las Vegas, despite it being Lance McCullers that's pitching. And as I looked at the daily matchup from Baseball Savant of who's faced who, you know, there's a couple guys for the White Sox. Jose Abreu's got 5 hits off this dude. You mentioned Cesar Hernandez, 2-for-4 with 2 doubles. They've got some guys that if they can get something early, I'm not talking about 5 and 6 runs. I think it's a lower scoring game today. I do. But if they could get a run up early and be working with a 1-0 lead, a 2-1 lead, I feel like they could put some doubt into the Astros. I do.
So here's another thing to look at. Now, we do not know what kind of, you know, shape, I shouldn't say shape, Carlos Rodon is going to be in, but we just don't know what he's going to have. You've got Carlos Rodon on like 11 days rest. You have Lance McCullers on, I think he's full like 4 days rest, but 4 days rest coming off a playoff game. Mm-hmm. Playoff starts take more ammunition. They just they affect the body more than just a regular season start. So that is going to be interesting as well. I'm very curious to see. I could see it going either way. It could go White Sox way. It could go Astros way, but there's definitely a scenario. There's definitely a scenario where Rodon pitches great. The Sox get to McCullers. They don't even score 5 runs off of them. Just get to the Astros bullpen, and the Sox get the victory here today.
Hey, man, I'll see you out at the ballpark. Enjoy the ride, okay?
Thank you, and it is Ozzie Guillen, Jason Benetti, and me doing pregame at 12:30 on NBC Sports Chicago.
Looking forward to it. I'll be stuffing my face in a concession stand.
You gonna stuff it where?
In a concession stand somewhere. So you enjoy, okay?
It sounds like you're gonna enjoy too. So
I'm excited. We'll see it. There he is, the great Chuck Garfine from NBC Sports Chicago.
You're gonna stuff what?
Stuff my face. I'm gonna just enjoy today.
Okay.
It's one of the really cool events I get to go to. Buddy, might say, I got a ticket. You want to go? Yes. Yes.
Where are you sitting?
Skybox.
Oh, with the people.
Nope.
Man
absolutely
of the people.
Not.
There he is, man of the people. Looking down on everybody.
He's got an extra ticket for me in a skybox. He said, hey, you want to sit in the skybox? I said, hell yes.
Mm-hmm. Then why'd you tell Chuck concession stand?
Because I'm going to go get the elotes, the corn that they serve there.
Yes.
You're going to go or you're going to send someone?
Yeah,
you send
someone.
He's
going to
send someone.
I'm going to get it.
Yeah.
You know what, Merkin? Keep your beak out of it. You're not on till 10.
Because, always remember, folks, tune out the elote.
Mitote.
You should cover against Illinois.
Mitote. You're not on till 10, Merkin. Go back to your management
meetings.
Merkin's
on the minute he gets down here.
You got your extra time. Don't worry about it. You're on until 12:30. No greeny. All right, here we go.
That's it. Oh, good. Twitter won't.
All right, Twitter. Okay. Just calm down.
It's the best.
You get what you want. Okay. Take a day off. Okay. Get to 12th. You get your extended C&J. Okay. Yeah.
No jet stuff.
No jets. Okay. You're all right. All right. Just fold your phone. Okay. Fold it up.
Kim Kardashian hosted SNL over the weekend.
Twitter. Okay.
Did she get you to watch? Danny did. I don't know if he had pants on. That's next.
Wait a
no
minute.
Shot.
That didn't say that up there.
Hey, this hour brought to you by Northwestern Football, Chicago's Big Ten team. Join the Wildcats at Ryan Field this Saturday when they host Rutgers at 11 a.m. Tickets on sale now at nusports.com.
Cap.
J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Don't forget, Cap, the Under the Hood Basketball Podcast. That's fine.
That's fine. Bernie's book bag. It's
required listening.
You've got to listen to it. I recorded an episode. It's on the Cap and J Hood feed right now.
There you go.
As we, you know, the Bulls are in the NBA season right around the corner.
Yep.
So right now on the Cap and J Hood feed, there is an episode I did with Andre Snellings from ESPN.com. And we go around the GM survey. We talk about the Bulls and their future. And so it's right there on the Cap and J Hood feed. Look for the Under the Hood Basketball podcast.
That'd be on the ESPN Chicago app, which is free. Yep. It's awesome.
Yep.
You can listen live to our shows. Yep. So check it out on the ESPN Chicago app, both at the Apple iTunes Store and the Google Play Store.
We get accused around here for not talking enough basketball, and so that's why we have the podcast. And believe me, Cap and I are locked in to this new-look Bulls team.
Yep.
Looking forward to the new-look Illini team. So don't worry, we'll get your basketball filled. But just in case, there's always the basketball podcast right there on the Cap and J Hood feed.
Yep, looking forward to it. And again, baseball today, crosstalk will be coming up in just a few minutes with Carmen and Yurko. 1 p.m., Carmen has a Miller Lite watch party at Cork and Carry right outside the park. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And Kim Kardashian hosted SNL on Saturday. I'll be honest with you. I used to watch that show eons ago.
Sure.
Haven't watched it in a long time.
Just so you know, Chevy Chase is not on it anymore.
He isn't.
So I want you to understand, man, that you watch
John Belushi.
Belushi's not with us.
Jim?
No, John.
He's, oh, John.
Yes, John.
The Killer Bees. They don't do that anymore.
No, they don't do it anymore. And also,
Cheeseburger.
Chase is also not falling down like Gerald Ford. That also is not happening.
Wow, that's not also the last time I watched it.
So that's not the case. But you like it's just like you and I on the expressway, right?
Mm-hmm.
We could be on the Dan Ryan, we could be on the Kennedy, and all of a sudden you see this fire on the side of the road. You're like, whoa, that car's on fire, and you can't help but to look. That's the same thing with SNL and Kim Kardashian.
Correct. So, Danny, were you clothed watching this? Because you watched it for the first time, you said, in a decade.
I watched on Saturday night more SNL in one day than I've watched the last 10 years combined just because she was on there. That's why they asked her to be on there. She has a billion followers. People like to look at her. People like to follow her, even though she's talentless, and that showed on Saturday night.
Oh.
Yes, I had pants on.
Ray J didn't feel that way.
Ray J. Ah.
Here is Kim Kardashian from the show.
You ever see that, Tyler? That's not an HD.
Yeah.
Tyler's quiet now.
Yeah. Yeah, I did. On Pornhub. Here's Kim.
You are both amazing. I mean, John C., you're kind, considerate, mega jacked, and very, very rich.
Thank you.
And Zeke, although you're not my normal type physically...
Okay.
I was really attracted to your silly vibe and your sunny demeanor. I mean, I particularly enjoyed meeting your original character, Sherlock the Cat. He was hilarious.
Elementary, my dear Furball.
That being said, I don't think you asked one single question about me our entire date.
You sure?
And then at the pool, you were afraid to go swimming.
I wouldn't say afraid, but yes. Scaled.
And John C., I don't love that you have a wife.
That's fair. That's very fair.
But now I have to make a decision. Zeke or movie star and 16-time WWE champion John Cena. I'm just going to follow my heart. John Cena.
Wait. What?
Thank you.
John C., I'm really going to need you to figure out your wife's situation. But first, do you accept this token?
This is crap!
Yes. Yes. 1,000 times yes. Thank you. I really thought it was going to be...
I love that. So the Bachelorette, she's in a skit where she's doing a Bachelorette, and she chooses, I married John Cena.
Correct.
Why? Because she leans into the drama. That's correct. Why that's funny.
That's
great. So, but you know what? Danny, I saw some of the sketches. I watched through until about 11:30. You know what? Not bad. I've seen worse.
She was boring. She was vanilla, and she was good to look at.
That's who she is.
She also was willing to poke fun at herself.
Well, that the thing is,
surgery,
yes.
The Ray J video,
OJ, yeah,
but OJ Simpson.
But like that's people are complimenting her for that. That's how she's become famous because that's what she does. She turns all her faults into her brand.
you know, it's Kim Kardashian. It's Keeping Up with the Kardashians. They show everything. They don't hide anything, and that's why people watch them.
That's no different than this show. There's no talent on this show, but we still get over.
We do.
But you guys don't look like that.
Well, I don't need to look like that, pal.
I don't look good in pink.
There you go, Dan. You see that?
Take that.
You actually do wear pink often.
I do not.
You wear pink during golf season. Don't act like you don't.
No, what I wear is more like a
fuchsia.
Fuchsia. Thank you. That's the word I was searching for. We will crosstalk with Carmen and Yurko in exactly 2 minutes.
They don't have it on the south side.